and welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Folk. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And joining us from beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, is the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Folt. Mickey, how's your summer been so far? Are you getting any downtime, or has it been all work and no play, sir?
Well, I took a month off for the Stanley Cup, so it's been more than work, but it's been work for about the last month. I came into Vancouver last week, and you know, this is the nice time of year to be here.
It is indeed. Very low humidity on the west coast of Canada, Mickey. Temperatures mid-20s or so, so that's quite pleasant indeed. I know that you know that I love cottages. I'll be off for some R&R with the family in a little over a week and a half or so from now. Get in some fishing. Looking forward to it. We are talking for this edition of the program about specialty battery metals. And boy, oh boy, you talk about wild movement in their prices, Mickey. We're talking lithium, cobalt, and vanadium prices spike, but within the past 12 months or so, a dramatic decline in those prices, Mickey. What's going on?
Well, the cure for high prices, Rob, is high prices, especially in markets that have small world tonnage demand and are basically illiquid with no significant futures and options market. In the case of cobalt, there is a world, it is traded on the world stage, but there were 140,000 tons of cobalt mined last year, 120,000 the year before. But although cobalt is used even more than lithium in so-called lithium-ion batteries, it's a very small market, and it's completely dependent on demand for steel alloys, with some use in the petroleum and chemical industries as catalysts, but the battery component of this is minuscule. So when prices go exponential, they do go parabolic. So let's see, when was it?
January of last year, we talked about it. And I want to refresh, Mickey, I want to take this opportunity.
Well, January a year and a half ago.
Right. Yeah. I want to take
been
this
a year and a half.
I want to take this opportunity to refresh listeners' memories, because you know what? If they were paying attention to what you said at that time, the dramatic price decline that we've seen will not come as a big surprise, because the title of our show back then was Cobalt is Cruising for a Correction. And in June of that same year, you warned that vanadium's vibrant value will be vanquished. So, you know, you've been ahead of the curve on this story.
Well, it's the way these markets work, and it's really no surprise, Rob. The cobalt price at $43 a kilogram, or pardon me, $43 a pound in February of 2018. And we did that show at the end of January. So, and now it's at $13 a pound. That's a 70% drop. And really what happens when prices go high, people, they work off of stockpiles. They find other sources in the cobalt industry. When prices get high, all the artisanal miners in the Democratic Republic of the Congo flood the market. You know, there's one mine in the DRC that accounts for about 60% of world production.
Right.
But what the government do? They put a 10% royalty on it, and it really is mostly a byproduct of nickel and copper smelters to begin with. So now there's an oversupply. Demand has been sluggish. Perhaps importantly, in the case of cobalt, with a futures market, the speculators left the market.
Mm-hmm.
Once the price got high, they just left the market. So right now we've got stockpiles that are burgeoning. And the other thing that exacerbated the situation with cobalt was the Chinese this year cut subsidies for electric vehicles. So they're not selling as many electric vehicles. Therefore, they're not using nearly as much cobalt for batteries for electric vehicles.
Yeah. Wasn't there a disaster at one of the mining operations in the DRC as well? More than 40 miners died, and the response from the government was they sent in the army to clear out, quote, illegal miners in cobalt?
Well, yeah, and that's what happens. You know, these illegal miners are, like it says, illegal. So there's an oversight over their operation. So people die in mines all the time, especially those mines that are illegally mining, or, you know, like placer gold mines all over the world, coal mines in China. No great surprise there, Rob.
Okay, and what have we seen with the price of lithium, Mickey? Has it followed a similar path, a big spike higher and a big plunge?
Well, it certainly has. Now, it's been a while since we did a lithium show. I went back and looked, and it's actually been more than 4 years. And it was called Lessons Learned from the Lithium Bubble. Well, we've had a second lithium bubble now, and I've gone on other radio programs and talked about what was going to happen to the lithium price and how I didn't think this was sustainable. Mm-hmm. So a little more than a year ago, let's say from February to May of 2018, we hit a high in lithium carbonate. This is an Asia spot price per ton of $19,750 a ton as we speak this month. It's $11,250 per ton. That's a 43% drop. These sorts of prices are not sustainable. In the case of lithium, the U.S. imports 50% or more. It's really not exactly transparent because there's only one real U.S. lithium production, Silver Peak in Nevada. But we've started recycling lithium with a plant here, actually, in British Columbia, in the greater metropolitan Vancouver area, and a new recycle plant in Ohio. We are mainly dependent on Argentina and Chile for our lithium from brines. But really what's happened over the last 2 years, the Chinese, anticipating greater and greater lithium demand, have started buying Australian spodumene, hard rock lithium. Mm-hmm. That production has increased over five times, and China is the only place in the world where you can get it processed from lithium silicate, essentially a feldspar, into lithium carbonate. So once again, world demand is less than plant capacity, despite tonnage mine going from about 70,000 tons in 2017 to 85,000 plus tons last year. So we've seen the market respond too strongly, too fast, and now we've got unused plant capacity and lots of lithium, and of course the price craters, which it has, you know. Yep. These high prices are never sustainable.
Yeah, and I've seen some forecasts, Mickey, that are talking about a surplus in the market last year, which was stood at, I don't know, approximately 30,000 tons, growing to a whopping 146,000 tons next year. So the trend is not your friend if you think that lithium is a market to get into.
Well, not at this stage. As with all these bubbles, when you start seeing them move, you better get in quick and be prepared to exit and not hang on, or you're going to get burned. And, the lithium in business worldwide is still controlled by three large chemical companies, all with a presence on the New York Stock Exchange, or you can buy them in the case of the Chileno company, SQM, through depository receipts, and two Chinese companies. Mm. And so you've got five companies worldwide, two that are arms of the or sovereign companies, arms of the Chinese government. Right. But it's incestuous within itself. For instance, Albemarle, the giant chemical company in the U.S., one of the two, is a 50% partner with the Chinese in the world's largest spodumene mine in Australia. You're not going to break into that cartel,
no,
for the most part.
Okay, with that in mind, then, why is the London Metal Exchange looking into possibly launching a lithium contract?
Well, one of the problems with lithium and vanadium is there's no futures and options market. So the markets are very obscure. And generally, when you establish a futures and options market and you can get some speculators and traders in that, it tends to smooth out some of the spikes of these metals, and also you get an idea of inventories moving out. So it's a much more transparent market when they aren't deals made in the secrecy behind in an office, and so that's the idea.
You mentioned vanadium, Mickey. Let's bring vanadium into the conversation. What sort of movement have we seen to the downside for prices there?
Well, this is quite a story. So in December of last year, December of 2018, what's that, 8 months ago, mm-hmm. the price for, there are two products, vanadium pentoxide and ferrovanadium, which is an alloy. The price for vanadium pentoxide went from $34 a pound to a present price of $8.30 a pound. That's a 75% drop-off. In the case of ferrovanadium, much similar, went in October, it went from $144 a kilogram, and it's presently at $37 a kilogram. Once again, a 75% drop-off in price. Mm-hmm. It is a byproduct metal with most all of the demand in the world for vanadium used in rebar, in steel alloys, right, and especially rebar. And what happened in November, the Chinese had standards for rebar, and they're notorious for their bad rebar,
yeah,
that they would increase vanadium content. And so the price spiked. I'm looking at the chart here, and it's up and down in a couple of months. So once again, we found worldwide weak demand by the Chinese, basically trying to manipulate the market. And it's a byproduct metal. There are only three mines, primary mines worldwide, and it's even a smaller market than both vanadium and cobalt at 80,000 tons a year. So what happens? Well, the price goes up, and it's a byproduct uranium mining. So what's Energy Fuels do at the White Mesa Mill in Utah? They start recovering vanadium from their pregnant pond solutions. We talked about this a year ago, and even though iron ore demand has strongly gained over the last few months, what that does is you're running steel mills to make steel, and you produce more slag, and the slag has vanadium in it. Mm. So, you know, the idea that vanadium redox batteries are going to drive a vanadium market going forward is just fallacious. Vanadium redox batteries are very dependent on the price of vanadium, and at those high prices, they are absolutely non-competitive. So once again, metals go up, metals go down, especially the specialty metals. These high prices generally aren't sustainable because people replace, they substitute, they find other sources, and life goes on. The price drops and the world keeps humming along.
Okay, so that's the situation today, Mickey. Looking further out, though, is there any arguing the longer-term increased demand for electric vehicles and the batteries behind that power and the minerals that and the metals that are needed?
Well, certainly the electric vehicle industry is going to make inroads. But give me a time frame, Rob.
Okay. Well, that's the whole point here, isn't it, really? The time frame is not today. It is longer term. So
yeah,
why get wrapped
not
up
near,
in these metals today?
It's not near term either. It's mid to long term.
Mm-hmm.
So and it's going to be a gradual thing. Whether they actually replace at some point, start to replace petroleum driven vehicles, internal combustion engines, I think is equivocal. There's certainly going to be more cars on the road. There's going to be more demand. And I think it becomes a matter of the percentage of electric vehicles versus the percentage of internal combustion engines on the world and the world. And I think that electric vehicles, especially in China and perhaps in Europe, are going to start to replace some of that. But let's face it, Rob, we're not going to wean ourselves off of oil in your lifetime or mine.
Okay. Bottom line to this one, I guess, Mickey, from an investing standpoint, this is a speculative story that you would rather basically watch from the sidelines, not put money on the line.
Well, I own one vanadium producer, and that's Energy Fuels, and it's really a uranium company.
Okay, well, let's wrap it up there. Mickey, you're in Vancouver for a resource conference. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, Sprott Resource Investment Conference, one of the best, if not the best of its kind. It costs money for investors to get in, so it's a bunch of high net worth investors and a bunch of very well known speakers, and it starts tomorrow morning and it goes through Friday, and I'm very much looking forward to it. And I'm going to speak a couple of times. I'm on an exploration panel tomorrow midday with some of my peers and moderated by Rick Rule. And then on Thursday, I talk about something we've discussed a couple of times on the show recently, and that's America's mineral import dependence on unfriendly countries. I'm going to lay out the problem, and as always, with a good talk, you provide some possible solutions.
Okay. Thanks very much for this, Mickey. We'll catch up to you in about a month's time.
All right. Thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. You can also hear Mickey's latest opinion on kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.